She was left for dead, shot 6 times while walking her dog.
I feel like I came face to face with evil.
Only on WRAL, what a North Carolina woman is sharing about that day. Doctors say it's a miracle she survived. Driverless taxis being tested on Raleigh roads. See how the technology works and the safety issues they're trying to overcome.
Sorry, but you can't get used to this comfy weather when the heat and humidity come roaring back and the storm chances coming with them.
Right now, here at 7 o'clock, a driverless taxi company that has run into some problems, we should say, recently, is testing its cars on the roads in Raleigh.
Cruise taxis have stalled out in traffic, been involved in close calls in Charlotte, and crashed into a fire truck in San Francisco. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Right now, the company's autonomous taxis are picking up some passengers in towns like San Francisco, Phoenix, and Austin.
And Raleigh could be added to that list. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm talked with a researcher about the safety concerns.
Cruise is testing its cars in busy parts of the city, including downtown and North Hills. The company tells me that's to give the technology an idea of the road conditions and driver behavior here in the city. Right now, there is a driver behind the wheel.
We spotted a Cruise test car waiting in traffic to circle this roundabout by NC State's campus. Several of the driverless taxis created their own traffic jam when they stalled out in this intersection in San Francisco.
And I think technology is almost there.
NC State professor Ali Hajbabai is researching autonomous and self-driving vehicles.
These cars are supposed to drive and drive and drive so that they have seen pretty much all conditions that can happen.
He says Cruise is collecting data during its test drives here because roads, traffic signs, and driver behaviors are different in every city.
When they go to a new city like Raleigh, there are going to be conditions and situations that they have not been exposed to. And as a result of that, they need to gather that experience.
NCDOT says companies like Cruise are not required to get a permit to test the technology on the roads here. This law, passed in 2017, regulates fully autonomous vehicles in North Carolina. No driver's license is required to operate one, but there is a minimum age of 12 to ride in one unsupervised. The registered owner of a driverless car is responsible for any violations, and the vehicles are required to meet federal safety regulations.
I am excited that they're here testing this out.
Raleigh Mayor Marianne Baldwin says driverless taxis could give people a new option to get around in a growing city, despite some of the safety concerns with this developing technology.
It's always a concern, but so are people driving. I mean, we have more accidents now than we've ever had. We've had more pedestrian fatalities. I mean, and that's with people driving cars.
A Cruise spokesperson tells me at this point there's no time frame for when a driverless taxi could roll out on the roads here. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
And Cruise says its autonomous vehicles have logged more than 4 million miles without a driver behind the wheel and have had no serious safety problems. The robo-taxi company is part of General Motors. Mark?
I'm Willie Danley in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker here at the Brampton Moores apartment complex in Cary, where officers are investigating a car into a pool. Take a look at this. People here on the scene tell me they have not seen something like this before. You can see the path of travel that this truck took down. It broke the fence and landed in the pool. If you look around, you can see neighbors in this community all pretty astonished at what they're seeing here. The driver of the vehicle, we're still unknown about their condition or if they are still here at the scene, but I'm working to get those answers and also figuring out what happened here. This is a pretty slow-paced road outside of this apartment complex, so it's not sure how this car ended up off the road, through that fence, and into the pool. But as I said, we're working to get those answers, and we're going to keep you updated with what we find out. Back to you.
Pretty wild video there. Thank you, Willie. A man caught on camera setting fire to a Trump sign in a Raleigh yard faces charges and a civil lawsuit. Raleigh police say James White is charged with 2 counts of damage to real property. This comes after Nest home surveillance videos were posted to social media, one of them showing a bicyclist leaning over the Trump 1 sign before sunrise on August 15th with a lighter. The sign was in the yard of John Kane Jr.'s home. Kane is the son of a prominent Triangle developer. He has replaced the sign and filed a civil lawsuit against White. Court documents show White confessed to police and was remorseful. RPD has confirmed to WRAL they are aware of a threat made against White. WRAL has reached out to White requesting an interview. He has not returned our calls.
Only on WRAL, we are hearing a miraculous story from a North Carolina woman who was shot six times while she was walking her dog. This is Shelley Lancaster. She was hurt during that crime spree we were reporting in Wilmington last week before deputies then shot and killed the suspect. She was, of course, rushed to the hospital. She was bleeding out at the time. She was still conscious during all of this. Lancaster has serious injuries, obviously, but she is now out of the hospital as her recovery continues. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan spoke to her about this harrowing incident in her hospital room.
And I looked, and I kind of smiled. And as I was smiling, I saw, I realized I was looking down the barrel of a gun. It was like time slowed down, and all of a sudden, it was like, pow, 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 pow.
Unbelievable. She's very thankful that her dog, Maddie, was not shot. Shelley has a long road to recovery here, learning how to use her arm and legs again.
More than 120 people have been shot in Durham this year. That's why community leaders met today to find ways to stop the violence. The Safer Community Conference is a collaboration to do just that. One of those people hoping to make a difference is Demetrius Lynn. He's a gun violence survivor and now a violence recovery specialist at Duke Hospital.
I made it through, I recovered, and I'm doing something that's totally different to try to encourage individuals to not go the route I went, or things happen. Just because somebody's a victim of gun violence, one thing we have to get the stigma removed, it's like everybody's a victim of gun violence that's not a criminal.
Leaders at today's conference say the crowd of more than 150 people shows the resources that are available in Durham and the need to work together on community solutions to the violence.
We are keeping our eyes on the tropics tonight, as you see Tropical Storm Franklin there. And it could bring some impacts up into North Carolina. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with what we should watch out for, Kat.
We're not expecting a direct hit to North Carolina, but we will still see some rough surf and we will see impacts at our coast. Franklin is east of the Turks and Caicos, just north of Hispaniola. It started to make that turn to the east, now moving to the north-northeast at 13 miles per hour with maximum winds of around 40 miles per hour. Continues to veer to the east and moves into very weak steering currents. It's going to be slow moving, but once we get to the end of the weekend, gets picked up, carried farther to the northwest, and it could strengthen into a Category 2 hurricane. I think it's going to pass between the East Coast and Bermuda. Here are the new model plots in tonight, most likely scenario would take it just west of Bermuda, still bringing impacts there. But for us, it's going to be in the form of a rough surf along the North Carolina coast. We could see wave heights of 4 to 8 feet, and that's going to increase the rip current threat, also bring the threat of some coastal erosion. The timeline for this would be early next week. I'll have a closer look at our local forecast and when things are going to be heating back up near 100 coming up.
Talk to you then. Thanks, Kat.
One of the most pivotal environmental contamination stories in the United States is happening right now in North Carolina. We're talking about the toxic chemicals dumped into the Cape Fear River. That's a drinking water supply for hundreds of thousands of people. It's the subject of our latest WRAL documentary, airing tonight in less than 30 minutes on WRAL. WRAL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance produced tonight's doc. Joining us now live, Kristen, what have you learned over the last few months?
Oh, Ashley, we learned so much about forever chemicals, you know, what they are and why every one of us should be paying attention to this issue. The chemicals are part of a class of compounds known as PFAS, dangerous man-made toxins called forever chemicals because they never break down and build up in our bodies and the environment. Forever chemicals have been linked to negative health problems, including cancer, liver damage, and also some studies have linked them to birth defects. You know, one of the leading manufacturers of these chemicals is in Fayetteville. Now, it was owned by DuPont, and then the company spun off their PFAS division into a company called Chemours. In the documentary, we will show you how these chemicals got into the water supply by highlighting the situation in Fayetteville and Wilmington. You know, I worked with WRL's Liz McLaughlin on this story, our environmental reporter. She has been covering forever chemicals extensively for over a year now. You know, we talked to scientists, we talked to regulators, the EPA, and we traveled to the contaminated areas and interviewed people who are really worried about the possible long-term health impacts from using and drinking contaminated water for years.
You know, I make a joke, 23 years in special forces, an enemy couldn't kill me. But you know what? My water here will.
I feel like they're waiting on us to die. Oh, they'll stop. They're going to die. So it doesn't matter. No. I'm going down fighting. And I'm not giving up.
You know, Chemours would not do an interview. We asked several times. A spokesperson told me they sympathize with anyone experiencing health issues, but available data doesn't support the conclusions being drawn. You know, these families really want a long-term human health study in the impacted areas. We get into this and so much more in the documentary. You can watch Forever Chemicals, Toxic Tap Water in North Carolina in less than 20 minutes at 7:30 right here on WRAL or on WRAL.com. Or if you want to wait till 8 p.m., it'll be on the WRAL Docs YouTube page. Ashley. Oh,
Kristen, what an important story. Really looking forward to this documentary. Thank you.
You bet.
Still ahead, nearly 300 open teacher positions in Wake County, and we're just days away from the start of school. What change school leaders are making now to fill those needed jobs? That's coming up. Well, here we are just a few days away from a new school year, and students going back means some new students in schools and a lot of new teachers as well. In Wake County, the district is working at this point to fill nearly 300 open teacher positions. And again, we're less than a week away from the new school year. However, school leaders are pretty optimistic. They've been in this situation before. In fact, last year, there were 100 more open positions than they have now.
We're seeing declines in vacancy rates in both regular ed, special ed teachers, instructional assistants, so some of those key positions that really support our students directly.
He says the district heavily recruited student teachers and put more focus on advertising. Their district also saw less turnover compared to the rates that they saw during the pandemic. Back to school will look a little different for Wake County kindergartners. They will start their week with a staggered entry. Students will be split into three groups based on their last names, and each group will only come in for one day in the week. Staggered entry is an opportunity for students to get comfortable with their new school, but it also helps teachers to know the child and where they stand academically and what kind of teaching personality would best fit that student emotionally.
How do they communicate? Can they transition well? Some teachers, you know, are more strict or firm, where others are more calming and soothing. So that gives us a chance to, like, place them properly with the teacher that we think they would mesh very well with.
My kids just went through it last year, and it was a great system. Parents should, though, check with their individual schools to learn what group their child is in. Meet the Teacher Day will be next Friday for kindergartners. There was a plane made an emergency landing at RDU today because of a possible mechanical issue. An American Airlines flight was heading to Orlando. It was coming from Washington, D.C. when it got diverted here to RDU. It did land safely just before 10 o'clock this morning, not long after passengers then got on a new flight to Orlando. That can always be a little scary if anybody's ever been on a flight like that. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now. So we've had some really comfortable, nice weather, but it is about to heat up.
Oh yeah, it's going to be long gone by the time we get to Friday. That's why we told you this week, today was going to be the day for outdoor plans. Check out Friday's numbers. 100 is our forecast high, not the heat index, but we're actually forecasting temperatures to hit 100 in Raleigh, Durham, and Fayetteville on Friday. 98 for Rocky Mount, 99 in Goldsboro. You're just not going to escape the heat by the end of the week. And when we look at the heat index, it could get up to 109 in much of the area by noon, already feeling like 95, feeling like over 105 between about 2 and 6 o'clock. We'll watch for a heat advisory potentially to be issued. And even by the evening, 8 o'clock, it's still going to feel like the 90s outside. I do want to show you our WREL Weather Watcher photo of the day. This is from Lake Gaston. Just such a stunning view. Thank you to Luann for sending that picture in to us today. Let's take a live look outside right now, though. 84 in Durham and Raleigh, 85 in Fayetteville. It's a great evening to head outside for a walk. No matter what you want to do outside this evening, we've got a couple hours left to enjoy this. Feels comfortable right now with a dew point of 54. By tomorrow, we're going to be back up to steamy. And then once we get to the end of the week, we could be back up into tropical at times. When you look at the month of August so far, it has been warmer than normal, but also drier than normal. Interesting to note, the 11th hottest month on record, also the 11th driest month on record for the month of August. And we've been in the stretch of near or above normal temperatures all the way since the 11th. Today was the first day that we've really been just a degree below normal, but it was really nice out there. And those of you who are hoping for more weather like this, the high was 87 as forecast today. That's normal for early September when the normal high is at 86. So we're going to be headed more for weather like this once we get to early September. And you know, that's just over a week away. It'll be here before you know it. But we've got lots of summer weather left for the summer lovers out there. In the meantime, that's also going to come with growing rain chances. A 20% chance for rain tomorrow, a 40% chance Friday night, mainly in our northern counties, some isolated storms on Saturday with growing coverage late Sunday and into Monday. We have bumped up rain chances early next week. This could affect kids heading back to school on Monday. They may need an umbrella. At least it still doesn't look hot out there, but get ready for the umbrellas and the daily active radar that we often see during the month of August. Coming back soon, Dan.
I'll take a little rain over 100 degrees.
Me too.
Thanks, Kat.
Time is running out for state lawmakers to reach a deal on this year's budget, allowing more than 500,000 North Carolinians to get health insurance this fall. They need to come to an agreement on that budget by August 31st. That's just about a week and a day away. Yesterday on WREL, during our 7 o'clock news, the state's Department of Health and Human Services, Secretary Cody Kinsley, said it would be extremely difficult to roll out Medicaid before December if they don't reach a deal by the end of this month. Joining us now live to give us an update on where things stand is Representative Donnie Lambeth, one of the top budget writers and vice chair of the House Health Committee. Good evening and thank you for joining us.
I'm glad I could. Thank you.
Representative, you have been a supporter, a proponent of Medicaid expansion. Why haven't lawmakers budged on calls to separate Medicaid expansion from the budget so that this piece can move forward for all those people who need it?
Well, that was part of the agreement reached way back in February, and I think the leadership would prefer to stick to that deal. There were other aspects of it, certificate of need reform, and a number of other things that were included. And, you know, we're close. We're going to get the budget done here in a few weeks. And I'm not that particularly that concerned that we'll miss out on the Medicaid program getting implemented fairly quickly.
But, you know, there are so many people who would, I'm sure, like to get their procedures or their medication or whatever they could benefit from by having that health insurance by October instead of having to wait until December. Can you understand why people have a tough time making sense of why you and your colleagues are not decoupling Medicaid expansion from the budget since that deal has already been made on expansion months ago?
I do, and I certainly sympathize with them. And as you may know, I worked on Medicaid expansion for 8 years. It took a long time to even get it to the point to include it and pass it. And a few more weeks, I don't think it's going to make that much difference. We're able to go back and what they call redetermination and pick up those once we actually sign the budget into law.
You mentioned, and I just want to bring this back to getting that budget passed. So you think that this will be able to happen in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we're very close. We've been working, obviously. You know, this is a long year, and if you look at the long year for the state, rarely do we meet the deadline of June 30th. I don't like that. I think a lot of people would prefer we get the budget done and get out of town. I would, but we are very close. We've been working hard for the last few weeks, and I think right now the schedule is that the week of September the 11th, we will finalize and vote out the budget so we can move on with not only Medicaid expansion, but the many tremendous aspects of what's in this budget for the people across North Carolina.
So the week of September 11th, that is what you're saying is when we can expect that budget deal to be reached, and then maybe December is when we can see that Medicaid expansion going through?
Well, the good thing about it, the feds have been working with us, and Secretary Kinsley's done a great job of kind of keeping them informed. I think we still have a chance at meeting the October 1, particularly if we can show that we're moving in that direction. It takes about 2 weeks once we reach the agreement for the budget to be printed, to go to the media, to go to our caucus. But I think by Labor Day, we'll know what's in the budget, and we'll pretty much will just be ceremonial moving it forward for a final vote.
Representative Lambert, thank you so much for joining us here on WRAL.
I'm so glad I could. Thank you so much.
Still ahead, meatless options are making their ways now to our local schools. We'll give you a look at the options that Wake students can expect and how they're helping to support our state's agriculture. We are less than an hour away now from the first lighting of a new park centerpiece in Raleigh.
Freedom Park held its grand opening this morning. Governor Roy Cooper and other leaders cut the ribbon. The park highlights the African-American experience in North Carolina and the struggle for freedom and equality. Quotes are stamped into the walls around the park with a statue, the Beacon of Freedom, placed in the center. The beacon will be lit for the first time this evening.
Beautiful.
The school lunch menu doesn't look like it used to.
Herbert Atkins Road Middle School in Fuquay Varina opened up their cafeteria today to share a bit of the taste of what the county can expect this year. The students there, nutrition experts, are developing a daily vegetarian option and staying on top of trends to keep students interested in getting a healthy meal.
We look at things that other restaurants are serving, things that students are wanting and asking about.
So this year, our students are going to enjoy fresh watermelon from the farm, apples, sweet potatoes, kale, cabbage. Come spring, we'll be offering strawberries and blueberries.
I love this. Everybody should be doing it. All the produce will come from the farm to school program that supports North Carolina agriculture. If you are putting together your kids' meals for this school year, you can tune in tomorrow as Five on Your Side's Keely Arthur learns from some experts how to keep meal prep costs low and how to pack for some picky eaters.
Ooh, I got one of those at home. Thank you for making WRAL your choice for local news.
And just a reminder, stick around for our WRAL doc, Forever Chemicals, North Carolina's toxic tap water. That is coming up next at 7:30.
And then our next newscast is at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.